Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. Hey guys, this is Susan Alloway, your podcast creator. This past Sunday was Story Sunday, and Pastor Gary will explain who's speaking. But here are a couple terms that you need to know in order for this podcast to make sense. The Mill is a prayer chapel that we opened on our main street in the fall of 2018. First Friday is a huge summer-long monthly art and vendor festival in Bristol that we helped get started several years ago. And Noble Earth is a tea and kombucha shop, also on our main street, where our friend Gaines works. He's essentially a bartender there, but with tea. And also, I apologize for the reverb echo on this podcast. Our speakers used the mic set up for the musician and not the one set up for the sermon. So with that, here's Gary.
Tonight's Story Sunday. We try and do this a couple times a year where we hear stories from different people in our community.
I turned it off.
Oh, okay.
Tonight is Story Sunday.
That was awesome.
Susan can edit that out of the podcast. It is Story Sunday. We try and do this a couple times a year where we hear different stories of things going on in our community. And that might feel less than a sermon. Like you came for church for me tonight. That was a couple stories. And that's why I always like to go back to this verse. This is from Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 to 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser, Satan, the dragon, of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." There's power in telling our stories. It's more than just neat anecdotes. Scripture tells us that by the words of our testimony, we throw down Satan. We overcome the evil of this world, the things that weigh us down. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we follow the living God. We think that we follow religious beliefs or an ethical system or a set of moral laws. So we tell stories to remind ourselves that God is alive, God is real, God is active and working in each and every one of our lives every day. So tonight we get to hear from Forrest and from Gaines and from Laura. But also let it be a reminder, we rejoice with them and we celebrate, but let it be a reminder that God is at work in all of us every single day. So, without further ado, Ms. Laura.
So, being at the Mill and being there for First Friday has been really kind of cool for me. I haven't done First Friday where I got to participate, per se. I was always coming, and from the very beginning of Redemption, when you first had the First Friday, I would come and I would just kind of join in and just be part of the activities. But this time I'm getting to actually participate and hold a space and sit down at a table and, you know, greet people as they walk by and really invite them in. So a few things that I've learned from the Mill, to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, sitting there with a free prayer sign and a smile as people pass by is very disarming and very vulnerable. And it's been really good for me to be a part of that and really just hold the space for that prayer time. A lot of people look at us and they're kind of confused or inquisitive or kind of ignore us completely, but just being there on First Friday has been really powerful within itself. I'll give you two stories. So me and Gary sat together and we prayed and we said, "God, if you could just give us two people to come and sit with us and be encouraged by this prayer time, that would really mean a lot." And sure enough, two people came. Actually, someone crossing the street said, "Oh, prayer, I need that," as they were walking towards us. And I thought that was pretty awesome. So they sat with us, they prayed, we gave them a tour around the the mill, and I believe they were really encouraged by that. Another thing that I've liked to do when people pass by, just to remember something about them, so that when they do return on their way back, that we say hello again, or so they feel seen. It's been a really unpredictable time at First Friday because we really don't know what we are going to get, but just being there to hold a place card for Jesus and just make that time special and make the prayer itself be enough. You know, we're not there to give people candy or cheap prizes or bribes. We're there just to sit there in that space and share and let others know that this is us wanting to be with them, and we're not trying to pull them in by any means. And so it's meant a lot to me. And yeah, I've really enjoyed being a part of First Friday. So thanks for your patience.
All right. I'm going to talk a little bit just about my time and what I'm doing at Noble Earth, which is basically where I've been living the last 2 days. So if I fall asleep up here, just like tap me. So anyway, I've been doing a bunch of things at Noble Earth with kind of the youth there, sort of started intentionally and also unintentionally getting in there. Two kind of stories I just want to share. One was with one of these guys who's a member of this band that is kind of one of the staples of our open mic. And we kind of make a joke out of it because they have this band called Freudian Trip, and it's never the full band is there. So it's always like two-thirds of the band, and we're still not really sure the drummer actually exists. But anyway, so he came after work one day and just like, well, technically before his job, because he was just saying how like he just got fired and he came right there and he just wanted to talk. And it was really interesting because like I didn't say that much. He kind of just went on about work and his view on the economy and just why he was let go and stuff. And it wasn't so much important whatever was being said. Like, it really wasn't, and for me. But just the fact that he had somewhere to come to say, and like a safe space, and that like God has kind of put me there to talk to, you know, people who are coming there. And that's like, it's been an interesting thing because there's people who come in who are just like willing to share some things that it's like I don't need to have that shared with me, so, like medical things. But then there's these stories that are more of like it's like I don't, that's private. Anyway. But anyway, like no, but when some people just come and it's like that airplane principle when you sit next to someone on a plane and you just share a life story, and people are just so stressed out and they just need to sit down, and then they'll say thanks and leave. And it's like, they just need a person to like hear. And it's, there's days that nothing will happen at Noble Earth. It'll be me for hours and hours. And then someone comes in and they'll just be like, thanks for listening. And it's like, that kind of makes the day. But I was gonna talk like more in detail about some other things, but I kind of, all that got thrown out because of today. Not that it's a huge thing, but it is. We have, I don't know if I can use names, maybe, no, maybe.
I might be able to edit them out.
Okay, I'll just not, I'll be vague, just in case. So I have a new coworker who came along, and have been coming to the open mics a lot and stuff. And first of all, it's neat with them, sorry, backtracking. They were kind of emceeing the open mic because I was working Friday night, and they just have this, we talk about person of peace here a lot, and they've really become that, and the connection of like, yeah, I'll get, you know, a bunch of people to come to the different things, the movie night coming up or this and this. And something about like when they were getting up to play their ukulele, and just like, it's just us tonight, like talking to the group, and just like this sense of like kind of feeling the Holy Spirit just like there. Like, it was a church, but it's not a church. So continuing that into today, it was kind of slow, and the two of us were talking, they're getting trained, and we were talking about different beliefs in religion and all types of things, and they were saying how they were agnostic, but studying different beliefs. And the thing that really struck me is they go to a church right now, but just because they like the community. But the thing that really struck was when it came to Christianity, they said, it would be neat if Christianity is true, because that would be awesome. And like how just cool and the values behind that. And that like just struck a nerve in that seemed like the most important thing that needed to be shared tonight after just their view on, I don't know what's true, but if Christianity is true, that seems the most important. So I hope that all made sense, and that's what I have to share.
Yay. All right. I want to start with a quote from one of my teenage heroes, who has recently become one of my heroes again. His name is Hideo Kojima. He said, 90% of what is considered impossible is in fact possible. The other 10% will become possible with the passage of time and technology. When we think about our identity and who we are, a lot of times we can get stuck in thinking we are one kind of person, when really God intends to lead our lives through changes, evolutions. One of the things that I've always loved, like absolutely loved, is machines, particularly computation. I love the magic behind it. I love the way you can input information and have output. I love that whole process. I see a certain kind of beauty in it. But I grew up as a pastor's kid, and evangelical Christianity, generally speaking, does not care much for technology except for what it can accomplish. Christianity doesn't generally look at technology as beautiful. It has a strong tendency to look at it as something that is like the plumbing in a house, just kind of runs the thing. The machine itself is not beautiful, but rather the output, the outcome, the final product is what's beautiful. I started a job in October. At eTechnology Research, which is my brother's company. Well, it was formerly my brother's company. He since has moved on to another clinical trial technology company. What ERT does is ERT does the technology side of clinical trials. So when a drug has to come to market and has to be tested and has to be researched, there has to be an intermediary that deals with the data, that deals with the machines behind it. So whether it's ECG machines, which is what I work on, ECG machines, mostly ECG machines, a little bit of blood pressure machines too, but cardiac safety is what I do. These machines that we work on, they go to clinical trials, and the pharmaceutical company rents them from us, and then we use them, collect data, and it's just rinse and repeat. So that's my whole day, is just working with these machines, working with this technology. I made it my personal goal to learn the C programming language by the end of the summer, which if you don't know technology very well, but if you wanted to know, C is one of the more difficult languages to learn because it is so close to the metal. It is very much data into memory, data processed, data output. Just in, processed, out. There is something tremendously beautiful about that process. Math has a beauty behind it that I didn't recognize when I was younger, when it was numbers on a page. But when I realized it was patients and clinical outcomes, I found the beauty in it. I was able to recognize that there is something beautiful that hides behind those things that wouldn't be there otherwise. I'm going to share with you another quote, and this one might seem a little more known to you. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." It's striking to me that we live in an age where cochlear implants give people the ability to hear. And if you want to see something that might make you cry a little bit, just a little bit, go to YouTube and look up cochlear implant hearing for the first time. And watch people's faces as they get to hear sound for the first time. Particularly the videos of like children and parents getting to communicate with sound. It's heart-wrenching, heartbreaking, but also like tremendously beautiful. To the people that wrote the Bible, the deaf hearing was impossible. Absolutely impossible. But it's not now. The deaf can hear now. And what I want to suggest to you is that it isn't the triumph of the spirit of man that does this, but rather the triumph of the spirit of God to overcome the boundaries that we might have thought were there. That maybe part of God rests in the code. Maybe part of God rests in the machine. Maybe the Deus really does come from the machina. Deus ex machina. You can look that up if you like. If you don't know what it means. I know some of you are educated, but maybe not everyone knows. All right, fine. But the thing is, though, is that like I see that every day now. And I couldn't have done that without having come from where I came from. As a pastor's kid, as someone that's invested 10 years here at Redemption. It's so cool. 10 years here at Redemption. It's really cool. But I wouldn't have the ability to see machinery as something that is transformative, something that is covered in the spirit of the living God. Something that actually doesn't require a single person to believe in God to be effective at bringing hearing to the deaf or sight to the blind, which is a thing, by the way. It's happening. Some say that there's a technological revolution coming, and the thing that's going to bring it in is artificial synthetic intelligence. The idea that machines and man might not be so different after all, after we figure out the algorithms, after we figure out the neural coding, the neural programming. It sounds like science fiction. But to the writers of this, the deaf hearing might have been impossible too. And Hideo Kojima might be right, but he might only have half the picture. That 10%, that magic 10%, might be brought on by the Spirit of God in a way that we didn't expect. And it might be through synthetics. It might be through machines. It might be through medications. It might be through those things that, you know, we might be a little afraid of. It's been a hard 6 months for me because my identity has been tied up in being somehow social justice-y Christian-y, and I've kind of had to leave that for the sake of finance and for the sake of stability into the world of technology, but I've been wonderfully surprised by how technology has transformative power. And the great part is, it's the rain falling on the just and the unjust, and I can see the hands that weave it. And it's pretty neat to get to watch that happen at my job at New Technology Research.
Thank you, guys. That was awesome. For any of you who've ever stood up here and told your story, you know that about 3 a.m. tonight, these guys might go, "I should have said that differently. I probably said something stupid." So make sure to tell them, like, thank you for sharing, and God does cool things with our eloquence, and God actually does, one of the mysteries of Christianity is that God actually does greater things in our ineloquence and in our imperfections. So thank you guys for sharing these things. We read this story 2 weeks ago. It's the story of Elijah at Mount Sinai. And when Elijah goes down there, the Lord says to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by."
Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. We can make the mistake of only looking for God in the big, enormous things. The earthquakes, the fire, the wind that rips the rocks apart, and yet God is present every day in everything that we do. So just as these guys have shared that God is present when we set up a little sign on Mill Street, or at the tea shop, just being present, or in the machines where we would have thought that maybe God wasn't there. God has been at work in each and every one of us. So I invite us, before we close up this time, to take a minute and reflect. What's your story? What is the story that God has been sowing in your life? Maybe today, maybe this week, maybe this month, maybe this season. Take a minute and just listen. Listen to that gentle whisper that's been stirring underneath your life.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.